This week, we're taking a break from our normal preaching to celebrate Advent, this whole month, actually. The sermons are going to be a little bit different. They're going to be topical in nature, so they're going to be structured a little differently, and they're going to be designed with kind of a different focus, a pointed focus of how our faith interacts with the beliefs of the wider culture. So in addition to speaking to you, I'll be speaking in a sense to the wider culture as well. And our theme is going to be, what if Jesus had never been born? What if Jesus had never been born? We'll look at it four different angles before we're done. And we're going to bring it all together in our celebration on Christmas Eve night. Okay. Our text today is from John 3, it's verses 31 to 36. And let me read that for you. He who comes from above is above all. He who was from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. How do you sense God's presence? And by God, I guess I mean just that whole sense of the transcendent, that there's something or someone bigger than you out there. Maybe it's standing on a seashore. Boy, I've felt something special when you just see like an infinite ocean out in front of you and waves are kind of crashing up just all over and over again, big sound. Or maybe it's when you're high up and you can look down from a mountain or look into a valley, you see a long distance, just it's kind of that kind of grandeur. Or maybe it's when you look up at the night sky and you really see the stars. Unfortunately, that's only happened once in my entire life. I've seen stars, but I mean, to really see the stars. I remember that night, though. It was in Pennsylvania. It was fantastic. Or even smaller things, you know, like flowers and birds and newborn infants. According to one survey I recently read, over the last 10 years or so, there's been a 7% rise among Christians who regularly feel a deep sense of wonder about the universe. And I mention that statistic only because the exact same survey shows that there's the same rise among those who don't identify with any religion. And in fact, there was double that rise among confessed atheists. And that just reminds us that drawing transcendent wonder from nature is a universal human experience. Those kinds of feelings are shared by people who believe in the biblical Lord, and along with people of every formal religion, people who believe that everybody is God, or the universe is God, or there is no God. Just as prevalent is the notion that there's something beyond us that interacts with our lives, maybe jinxing our efforts, or maybe giving us some extra help, sometimes performing inexplicable wonders on our behalf. Christians use words like providence and miracle. Others feel very similar things under the general heading of superstition. The sense that there's something out there is a virtually universal human experience. I mean, the Bible tells us that that is true. The Apostle Paul notes that in his letter to the Roman church. There's a sense of transcendent power and intelligence is something that people of every culture, everybody, realizes when they look at the universe at one time or another. Now, it's often been noted these days that more and more Americans are classifying themselves as nuns in the religious sense, okay? And we're not talking about people with habits on, right? It's like when you're filling out a form, it says, what are you, Catholic, Protestant, Jewish, Muslim, or none of the above? The number of none is somebody who checks off none. And the number of nuns is significantly rising, especially among our younger adults. Now, it's often misinterpreted that means that the nuns are atheists. And that's not necessarily true at all. More people who sense something transcendent in the universe choose not to explain it in terms of organized religion. One author described nuns as feeling like the universe is haunted, that there is something transcendent out there, and we don't know what it is. But increasingly important, nuns don't think that anyone knows what it is, that it can't be known. You know, people have all kinds of ways to explain their senses of the transcendent. There's religious doctrine, there's scientific speculation without any testable evidence, there's superstition, there's even the conviction that what we feel is an illusion. And we've had a history of, you know, kind of arguing over what's real. But rising in our society is a belief that it's impossible to know which, if any, of those explanations is real. And that's not exactly the same thing as claiming that there's nothing out there. An atheist might say that, but it's not the same thing. It's more like, even if there is something out there, there's no way to know that what you think you know is real. Because all that counts today, all that we have, say the nuns, are our feelings, meaning our perceptions and our thoughts and our opinions. I'll just say feelings for all that. And while my own feelings are precious to me, there's no way to know whether what I feel is real outside of my head. And this is often expressed by the opinion that all faiths and all religions are equally valid. They're equally valid, so it goes, not because they're logically compatible, because they're not, but because they're all based on people's feelings. And since your feelings have no more authority than mine, all religions are equally valid or acceptable. And you follow that line of thinking. You know, the great religious leaders in the past, the founders of religions, well, they had the status of prophets. They believed God spoke to them or that they had insight into the divine. Many people follow them. Well, they can't all be true, of course. But that doesn't really matter, because while the feelings of prophets and monks and priests and shamans might be perceptive or attractive, they're just feelings. They're just perceptions, personal experiences, and opinions. And if you want to follow them, that's fine. If you'd rather find God all by yourself in the woods, I mean, that's fine too. Many, especially in our younger generations, have given up trying to determine whether one kind of faith is more true than another. Because if all we have is what we feel, then we can't know that what we know is really true. And in my opinion, there really is nothing wrong with that logic. But there is another way to approach the matter. An alternative which is based on more than all of our feelings combined. And I'm not here to prove it to you, but I would like to describe it to you so that if you are tempted to think that it doesn't matter what you believe about God, you and your friends can at least consider another approach. Because it is not only a different approach, it is the only alternative to answer the question, how can I know that I know God? And it has to do with the birth of Jesus. Now, these are the words of John the Apostle, the one who wrote the Gospel of John from which this is taken. And the author, John, is responding to a quote from John the Baptist, a different person. John the Baptist said he was not the Christ. He said he was not the Savior and the Lord of all the world promised in the Old Testament. Rather, Jesus was the Christ. And John the Baptist lifted up Jesus above himself. He said, he must increase, I must decrease. Now, here, the author of the gospel reflects on that comment. Why? Why is Jesus greater than John? John is arguably the greatest Old Testament-style prophet of all time. Why is Jesus greater than he? Why would Jesus be greater than any prophet of any religion? And the answer is this: it's because John and all the other prophets are of the earth. We would say of this planet, of this universe. Therefore, they have the innate perspectives of a human being. I mean, what else would they have? And from what he says, I think that the Apostle John would agree that nobody can know whether they know God truly. I think John would agree with that, except he knew somebody who actually came from heaven. Well, what if in some amazing way, God communicated with us, not only through his creation and his universe and by inspiring us with beauty and grandeur, but by actually stepping into our world directly and talking to us in a way we could understand. Why would that be impossible for God? Such a divine being could simply bear witness to what he has seen and heard, as it says there, what he knows, because he himself came from heaven. This would be God in the flesh. If such a person actually came to us, we would have reason to know that we know God. Now, nobody would be forced to believe in him, of course, and many people do not. Traditionally, you may have heard this line of thinking. I think it's a good one. Traditionally, there are three logical categories of the way we can think about Jesus. Either he is the Lord God in the flesh, or he's a lunatic who thought he was God and not, or he was a liar. He said he was God, but he knew he wasn't, and, you know, for money or fame or something. If that were the case, it didn't work out real well for him. You can pick any response you want. But if you do choose to believe that Jesus is the Lord, what you are doing is you are sealing or bonding your life to the belief that you can truly know God. Nobody else has to agree with you in this, and you don't even have to believe it if you don't want to. But if you do, it's because you affirm that only God can make things truly knowable. Knowable. The direct entrance of God into human history, someone who speaks about God, not from his feelings as a human being, but from a direct knowledge from heaven as God himself. Jesus' birth is the single alternative to the otherwise inevitable assumption that you can't know whether you know God. I mean, do you claim to have come from heaven, to be the creator of all, to know God's mind because it's your mind? Did Confucius? Did Siddhartha Gautama Buddha? Did Muhammad? Did Moses? Any guru or shaman ever claim to be from heaven as Jesus did? No. Now, of course, the fact that he is unique in his claims of origin does not make his claims true. But it does, to my mind, make investigating Jesus a very high priority. Now, how could you go about investigating Jesus to find out if he uniquely has the marks of being divine? There's probably many ways. I'm going to mention four just because they're the ways that I chose when I was seeking him a while back. One is his history, historical. Jesus' claims are the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies. Now, what are the odds of anyone fulfilling all those prophecies? There's a famous calculation. It was done by Peter Stoner, a mathematician, who gave 600 students the assignment of calculating the odds of one man simultaneously fulfilling 8 Old Testament prophecies. It's interesting. And they tried to break each prophecy down to its component parts, and the answer was off the charts. I mean, it was like 10 to the 21st power. I can't even begin to illustrate how big that is. Well, I realize such calculations are wild. But they do draw attention to the fact that there are dozens of prophecies of the Messiah in the Old Testament. Jesus fulfilled them all. Now, such a thing is not true of any other religious leader, any human being in history. And some of them, like being born in Bethlehem, are simply things that a regular person couldn't arrange for themselves. This is truly unique, and it's unique in an impressive way, and it needs to be thought about. Another line of thinking is that of miracles. Jesus is known for his miracles. He even said that the validity of his claims was demonstrated by his miracles. And it's fascinating that tens of thousands of people claimed to witness his miracles and affirmed them to be true, even many who did not follow him. They said he was working by the power of the devil, but something was happening. And most remarkable, of course, was his resurrection from the dead. The accounts are that hundreds of people witnessed that. Now, I remember thinking, I just remember this so clearly. I was thinking of the 12 apostles. They died because they testified that they saw him rise. That was their witness. That's what they were called to do. And I thought, I can believe that brave men and women would die for what they believe in. Unfortunately, people are doing that every day. But I can't believe that anyone would die for what they absolutely knew, because they were there, knew was wrong. And again, you have to think. No other religious leaders were attested to by miracles the way Jesus was, especially his resurrection. And you really can't find any event in ancient history that is attested to better or even as well as the resurrection. You may not choose to believe it, but it is a remarkable thing. And he is unique in that way. Another line of inquiry is that of testimony of people who knew him, that he was a perfect human being. Now, I know that nobody would say that about me, but they did say that about Jesus. His enemies could not agree on any charge against him. The only thing they could prove was that he claimed to be divine. They couldn't demonstrate anything immoral or evil. No matter, I mean, they had dogged his footsteps. They had tried real hard. Imagine, I mean, just think about our situation today. It's not hard to find problems with people who are in authority. They couldn't with Jesus. And more amazing was that his disciples lived with him for 3 years, over 3 years, and they claimed he was a perfect person. Died for that. And even to me, most amazing, his family came to believe in him, even that he was a perfect person. I don't know of anyone else in all of history who has ever had that kind of affirmation. And another line of reasoning that I'll just mention is a different kind of testimony, and that's the experience of people who know him today. Now, my experience or Mickey's experience, that doesn't prove anything about Jesus. But when you see a large group of people who are all profoundly impacted by Jesus Christ in a positive way, well, that is one more thing to consider. Jesus' birth brought us a uniquely different way to know God. Not only to know God, but to know that we know him. A unique and powerfully arguable reason to believe that what we believe is not just the product of our own imagination, but it comes from God himself. Now, anyone might ask, well, you know, interesting, but what difference does it really make? Why does it matter? Why do we have to know God's mind? It's a great question. Well, we look at the next verse. The only one who was ever claimed with arguable evidence to have come from heaven says that humanity is lost and that faith in him is the only way home. Now, if Jesus is from heaven, then what he says has authority. Well, that's obvious. But what is not so obvious is that according to this unique spokesman, God is angry with us. Oh, I don't want to believe that. I want to believe God's happy with us. Well, that's fine. You and I, we can believe whatever we want. But isn't it significant that the only one who has a case that he is God's revelation to mankind says God is angry with us? And what is more, God offers us life, eternal life, that somehow avoids God's wrath. Now, that's an awful lot to digest. So this part of it, we're really going to look at more next week. Same way we're looking at this. We're going to look at this part. Okay. My point in all these observations is not to deny anybody's spiritual sensitivity or diminish how God reveals himself in the night sky or say something really stupid like all the insights of non-Christian religions are wrong. Those things aren't true. And if you are one of the many who believe that you can never know whether you can know God, if you believe there's no objective basis upon which to evaluate your own spiritual feelings and convictions, please know that I respect those feelings. I had them myself all throughout my youth. I shared them. But there is a Christmas message, and that is that Jesus has been born. Jesus is an alternative to your perspective, the only alternative, a reasonable alternative, an alternative that you could choose. A man came from heaven. His birth was God coming into our world as a human being to tell us what is true, whether we feel it or not. God telling us what's on his mind, what's in his heart, what he's going to do with the human race, and how to receive the goodness that he offers to give. Think about it, won't you? Think about what it means that Jesus was born and what that could mean to you.